It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Let's take a look at some other positions here that Washington could both consider in the first round, but maybe there's some depth in this draft as well in terms of, you know, that second round pick at 61 where they sit, fourth, fifth round. They've got a couple sevenths as well. They currently don't have a third rounder, but we know that Adam Peters is not afraid to move around. But wide receiver, I think, is the other one that a lot of folks look at. If certain guys fall to the end of the first round, that could be interesting, but certainly later in the draft, getting someone who is a younger player in this room along with Terry McLaurin, and then we'll obviously see what Luke McCaffrey does this year. First of all, Jeremy, is there anybody that you think will realistically be available that Washington should consider at 29 at the wide receiver position? And then we can talk about some guys down board.
No. I'll go ahead and tell you, I'm very low on this receiver class because I like Tet McMillan a lot. I'm really glad that he went to his pro day and ran, because if we had lasted two or three more days, I'm pretty sure he was going to be running in the fives with what people were talking about with him. So he runs that 4.54. Now I think he goes in the top 10. Matthew Golden is, to me, a really fast version of what Stephon Diggs was when he was coming out, not the all-pro that he became. I hope he can get to that point where he's that kind of impactful player. I'll tell you a funny stat about Golden that really bothers me. In the last five, back to 2020, so this would be 21, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 drafts. I've had 28 first-round wide receivers that have either gone or are projected to go in the first round. So that encompasses the guys this year.
Right.
And I think it was McMillan, Abuka, Burden, and Golden that they lumped in for this year. I don't think all those guys are going in the first round, but for the premise of the conversation, of the 28 receivers that have gone in the first round the last 6 years, no receiver would have averaged less yards per game than Matthew Golden.
Really?
Now, that seems like a super myopic stat until you look at the list and realize that the Jamar Chases, Justin Jeffersons of the world are up here, and every bust that you've gone, how in the world did you fall in love with that guy, was at the bottom of that list, and they were all right above Matthew Golden. So that is one piece of empirical evidence that it does not a story make, but that is something I think to at least talk about. Abuka, I don't think he should go in the second round. I think he should go in the first. I've got a fringe first round grade on him. I just don't think he does anything well enough that he will be that guy that's up at the top of the board as you're going through that in between days. Going Abuka is the best player on the board, he'll wind up with Tennessee or somebody like that at the top of the second round. Now, where things get interesting to me at wide receiver is as time goes on, you get into the second round spot. I love Trey Harris. Trey Harris is poor man's Rome Odunze, and no one will convince me different. I watch them on tape, and they look exactly the same. I don't think either one of you is blindingly fast, but you do a great job of settling down in space. Trey's a Z now. I think he could ultimately be an X. That is a guy I would be looking for Washington. Problem is, I don't think he's getting by the Giants because he was the quarterback for Malik Nabers in high school. And I have a feeling Malik's going to be going, hey, I need somebody that plays on the outside so I can play in the slot. And but then you get into the Elik Ayemaner, who, Logan, you and I have talked about. Yeah. I love Ayemaner. I know he's a little stiff, but I think that comes from, like, that's a kid that went through the whole, I don't even know what to call it. It's like the Canadian exchange program where a kid is a really good high school prospect and they place him at a high school in America.
Mm.
And then he went to Stanford, and I'm not sure he got the best tutelage at Stanford. And so I think he's going to go into an NFL program and he's going to get a legit big boy NFL wide receivers coach that is going to work with him and really show him nuance. Because nuance is the one thing he doesn't have the nuance. He has a really high football IQ.
Mm-hmm.
When I watch him, he knows where to settle down. And he's always on the same page with the quarterback. Even the quarterback wasn't all that good. But then you get into the more, they're very athletically toolsy, but maybe the tape is inconsistent. I'm looking at Jaden Higgins out of Iowa State, Torrey Horton out of Colorado State. And then you get it gets very slotty from there with Jalen Noel and Jalen Royals and Jack Betch.
Dude, yeah.
I like all of those guys.
Yeah, they're all good football players, but this kind of goes back to the edge rusher conversation where it's like stylistically, like, what are you looking for? And I do think, like, you kind of alluded to it well there. There's only a couple guys that I think are like true outside players. You mentioned Trey Harris, you mentioned Higgins. I think both those guys fall in that category. Alec Ayemaner, I think that's
with Higgins.
But I agree. I think that's 100% right. I think he played slot at Iowa State. I think he's a better slot. I think his utilization is like Drake London at the NFL level. However, I do think the physicality is there that if a team was like, we want you to play off ball Z, like, is that his best position? No, but can he physically do it? I think yes. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like in this, if you're saying like, can you do something? I look at I love Jalen Noel. Like, he's one of my favorite players in the entire draft, but he can't play outside. You know what I'm saying? He can't play outside. Jack Betch, love his film. I don't want him playing outside ever. You know what I'm saying? So like in this world where people need to find the triangle player for your band, right? Like, there's only three dudes you mentioned there in the second round that I think are even close to that opportunity. Does that make sense what I'm saying, Jeremy?
Very, very much so. So the thing I would say on Higgins is, so one of my favorite comedians growing up was Mitch Hedberg. And it's he so had this funny joke about shifts of he was a comedian and people would ask him if he could act. And he said, you don't look at chefs and go, but can you farm? I look at Jaden Higgins kind of the same way.
Right.
Yeah. I know he can play big, hyper mismatch slot. By the way, big slot is probably the catchphrase of the draft for me because there's so many of them. Jack Betch that you mentioned.
Yeah.
That is Julian Edelman. If Julian Edelman had rolled around in that ooze that made the turtles, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. and once I say that, you'll never unsee it.
That's true.
I know Jaden Higgins can play that slot role as the big slot, and he's a matchup nightmare. I am curious how much, and this is a question that if I was a scout and I got these guys in the room for those 15-minute interviews at the combine, I want to know your honest-to-God answer to this. How big is your plate? So when I get you into the building, I know you can play big slot. Well, we've got Debo Samuel that's going to play out of the slot, but he doesn't always play out of the slot. He can play out wide too. So on those snaps that Debo plays out wide and you play in the slot, are you going to be okay if some of your reps in practice week to week are out playing the Z, not necessarily for in the game, because I'm trying to teach you to be the Z. Are you okay running with the twos in those limited practice settings? Because this is helping my backup quarterback. It's also helping you get acclimated to playing Z. Is your plate big enough to take your big slot role in year one and add a I'm learning to play Z in my spare time. Your plate big enough for that? Because if it is, I'm all the way in. If it's not, I'm still in. I'm just not in on playing you on the outside. Yes. Does that make sense?
Dude, I think that's exactly right.
I wonder, frankly,
if
they had that conversation with Luke McCaffrey last year and then how that actually went in practice.
Right. Yeah. It's a great point. It's
look, Logan can attest to this. Just being an NFL football player and doing your job is 100% a full-time job. And it's not a 9-to-5. It is a 24 hours of your day, keeping your body right, keeping your diet right, keeping your workouts right, not overexerting yourself. And so to ask a guy to not only play the position I drafted you for, the thing you can do right now, but also to add another job. This is one of the things I'm very curious about with Travis Hunter. How do you acclimate the practice time?
Totally. Right,
so he's the number one corner. Well, the number one corner, iron sharpens iron. If he's a receiver too, then who practices him? That's a totally different topic. But I think it's in the same vein of what I'm talking about here. There are more X guys as you go down the line.
As you go down, yeah, right.
They're developmental. Like, I look at Dante Thornton.
Yeah.
I think he has all of the raw talent you could ever want. He's just raw. He's raw, and you're going to have to be patient with him. You're going to have to not do what the New York Giants did with Jalin Hyatt, which is go, hey, you run fast, but can you do anything else? You can run 9 routes with the best of them. And they never taught him how to do anything else. And so now he just sits on the depth chart. And every year people go, hey, is this the year he learned to do other stuff? Probably not.
Which, by the way, there was a great quote from Adam Peters the other day. Logan, it made me think of the conversation we had about how your career developed the other day on the show, where he apparently, when John Bates was considering coming back, they told him, like, hey, man, we love what you do as this blocking Y tight end, and we think you're one of the best in the league. But, like, if that's all you are, that's not good enough for us. Like, we want to help you become a bigger, right. Like, we think there's more pass game upside. We want to develop you. And we know that Peters and Quinn and this staff is big on player development, which is why a guy like Thornton is so fascinating to me, because of course he is. He runs like a 4.3 and he's 6'5". And like, there's worse things you can have in your fourth, fifth receiver than a guy who's 6'5" and runs a 4.3 as a starting point. And by the way, hopefully he can tackle enough to have him run real fast on special teams as well in the meantime. But I think that's the interesting thing of, like, you know, some of these, you know, we talk about the traits thing with the edge rushers too. Like, that's important down the list. Like, let's just take a flyer on a guy in the 7th round versus at 29, I want a guy who I know can play football and do a bunch of stuff because I need him to play right now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Now,
it's funny for me that you said that way. I don't know that I've told Logan this at any point as we've talked a lot about the draft throughout the process. So what you just said is how I do my grades. So my first round grades are guys that I know for a fact can walk in day one and do what it is that I'm drafting them to do, and they have potential to get better. Second round guys, I feel pretty sure you can do what I'm asking you to do, or I'm not sure you're going to get better. So like Darius Alexander, the defensive tackle. I think his AARP card is already in the mail because I think he and I went to high school at the same time.
He's old. He's an old man.
I'm 38, and I'm pretty sure we played against each other. So I don't think he's going to get any better. That makes him a second rounder. Even though the tape says first round, he's got that yeah, but. And then basically I do that as we tear down of every time a layer peels from that onion of you're going to take some development. I'm not sure there's a lot of upside. And you go down that list. I just keep dropping you. Every time a layer comes back, you drop around.
Mm. It's smart. I think it's the way you should do it. I think a lot of teams, I think a lot of national media people forget that there is risk. And the first round is about mitigating risk, right? So like, for example, I've had so many fans ask me about Luther Burton from Missouri, right? And the kind of one big year of production in 2023, the down year in 2024. There's some, you know, we talked about a little bit on the show, like a little bit of character, like swirling, and who knows how accurate that is. But I look at that and I say, like, to me, he's become a second round player because you're no longer managing the risk. It's become too risky. You got him in the third round?
Three.
Dude, I love it, man. But like, because again, like that, but that's the thing that fans don't understand is like, I'm making an investment with this first round pick, which objectively has value. If I pick a player, it has to be valuable. And if I trade for it, it's got tremendous value, right? If I trade the asset for another player in the NFL. So that's where I think that's the right way to do it. But every year I'm like, this player that this team is taking, I think Jalen Walker is a really interesting example of this. There's a lot of risk associated with him because of the uncertainty of what he can be. And so I think that's where I think fans forget that NFL teams are actually making the decision and developing this person and understanding the trajectory in a way that that national media people don't have to worry about the same way, I think.
The thing I will say about national media people is, A, it's unfair to ask some of these guys that are not draft guys to do the same stuff that draft guys do. There are some of these entities that just – they ask their on-air talents. Just, hey, what does your mock draft look like? Your average commentator doesn't have the nuance of – like Tampa Bay, I've had blood come out of my ears multiple times of Tampa Bay takes a corner in the first round. Yeah, but they play off ball zone and you just took a press man corner.
Right.
And then your excuse is, well, I'm sure Todd Bowles would like to play more press man corner. You sure about that, bro? Because he's never done it ever across three teams. Never done it. So I don't think he wants to. That's just a rant for another day. Sorry. I do that. I apologize. I want to go to the Luther Burden thing that you just said.
Yeah.
So I love that you brought up Jalen Walker and Luther Burden together. So the character issues with Luther Burden can confirm. His attitude last year, I think it's so funny how people look at him. People look at him and say, well, the offense got worse and the quarterback play got worse, even though the quarterback's borderline draftable in this class. Everything got worse. So you had a top 10 to 15 tackle on this team. You lost Cody Schrader. That was it. That was your high end running back from last year. Why do you get a pass on the offense got worse? Why do you not get none of that gravy hits his taters? So, and I'll never understand.
So let me say this to you real quick. And I think you'll agree with this. Like when you look at Tetro McMillan, the quarterback there played objectively worse than he did last year. But Tetro McMillan.
Terrible scheme fit.
Yeah. But
the coach changed. Jed Fish left and went to Washington. In came Brent Brannon. And he didn't fit it as well.
And so, but Tetro McMillan's stats are the same, if not better this year, right? Like he's the same player because he's a dominant perimeter player in this draft, for example. And so
he bulked up in two games and people really narrow in on he had two huge games and the rest of it was just really good. You also got to remember he had a 5'9 quarterback that was playing in badly. But Jed Fish set that offense up to succeed with Noah Fifita and to succeed with Tet McMillan. Brent didn't do that. Now, a year from now, I think he's a great coach. But I don't hold that against Ted.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off
there. No, but I'm saying it's an interesting point of comparison, him to Luther Burden, right? There's been no decline in production with Tetro McMillan, but Luther Burden, like you're saying, has seen a noticeable difference in production. And when you're saying you're a top 10 pick, right, I don't want to say you should be scheme-proof because nobody's scheme-proof, but you should still look somewhat dominant. And that's the thing that I get with Luther Burden that's a little bit hard to negotiate.
Luther Burden for me is what I liked about you mentioning Jalen Walker there. They have kind of the same problem of I'm not doubting your natural athleticism or your natural God-given ability. What I'm doubting is your role and how I'm for Burden, how I'm going to manufacture your touches because you're not a good route runner.
Mm.
You're basically a glorified version of really poor man's Deebo Samuel, maybe slightly wealthier man's version of Laviska Shenault. But can you develop into an actual route runner? Your attitude is kind of a big deal in that because I'm going to have to teach you something that you should learn 5 years ago. So now it's not just your, what we were talking about, learning your job, doing your job. You're not just doing your job. I'm having to teach you how to do your job as well. And you've got to have the commitment and the drive and the want to be better. And all I ever hear are people make excuses for Luther Burden of, well, the offense got worse. I think he's a big reason the offense got worse because it's hard to get him the ball. He's not a big guy. He's not a good route runner. He really only wins with foot speed and straight line burst, usually coming out of the slot because a guy can't get his hands on him. He gets a step on him. He's not really all that open. That's on you. I can't make you more open. You have to get open. That's your part of the job. I have to get you the ball, but you have to get open in a space where I have a throwing window to get you the ball, and he does a terrible job of that. Every time I watch Luther Burden, he goes down about 10 spots for me. By the end of this, I'm going to have him as a priority undrafted free agent.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.